I'm titling this message today, Is This Battle the Lord's? I hope it's been clear over the last few months and almost year since Jim's been gone. October 31st will be a year. That I believe that there is a remedy for the Church of God during this hard time. And if you recall, we've read several times 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So says God. I also hope it's clear that we've repented. I know we have. I believe that we've turned from any wickedness in each of us individually, and we've sought God. But I believe there may be a few missing things that we want to look at today that might help us determine, is this battle that we are facing today, this coronavirus battle and all of the things that have ensued from it, the lockdowns, the wickedness we see in people, is this battle the Lord's or is it ours? And how do we know the difference? Well, I want to look at a couple of examples in Scripture today that might help us figure this out. I'm going to be reading first from Exodus 14. Tells us the familiar story of the children of Israel under Moses' leadership that were fleeing Egypt, heading for the Red Sea, only to be pursued hot and hard by Pharaoh, whose heart God hardened. God himself said, I have hardened his, or I will harden his heart against the children of Israel. And you recall that the people telling Moses that they were displeased with him for making them leave the safety of slavery in Egypt to go out into the wilderness to be chased by the ones that they were enslaved by. They said, you should have let us stay in Egypt and die there rather than come out into the wilderness and die with nothing. But God had a different plan. And I feel like the Lord gave me a bit of an insight on this plan this week that I had never really seen before, and I want to share that with you. The Egyptians had denied who God is and worshiped idols. God wanted a relationship with them as well as the children of Israel. He wanted them to know who he was. And I believe that that is why he took the children of Israel to the Red Sea experience. He could have easily sheltered the children of Israel from Pharaoh's army. But he didn't do that. He took them to the edge of the Red Sea with Pharaoh pursuing hot and heavy after them, where they had no options. But he had a plan. And in chapter 14, verse 4, God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh. That's kind of the key right there. God's saying, he's going to know who I am when this is all over with. And upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord Jehovah. It's in capital letters. And they did so. And verse 13 and through 16 goes on that Moses said to the people, fear not, Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will not see them again forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord responded in a very unusual way. He said, Moses, stop your complaining. Stop your praying and do something. Tell the people to move forward. But you lift your rod and you cast it out on the sea and you stretch your hand forth over the sea and it will divide. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And God says, I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen, that they shall know that I am the Lord Jehovah. In verse 21, Moses stretches out his hand over the sea with his rod, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind that held the walls of water all the night long and made the ground dry, that the waters were divided and the Israelites walked right between those walls of water to the other side to safety. And the next morning when Pharaoh and his army started out across the sea thinking, oh, well, here we have a part in the water, we're going to take advantage. Verse 27, on the other side of the sea now, Moses stretches out his arm again over the sea, and the Bible says the sea returned to its strength, drowning the Egyptian army so that there was not one left alive. As I said, God would rather have had a relationship with the Egyptians, just as he did with the children of Israel, but they would not. So he had to prove to Pharaoh that he was the Lord Jehovah, and he proved that this battle truly was his, because the children of Israel did nothing but walk across the sea on dry ground. Moses had to be obedient as a leader to reach out his hand, which he did. And now if you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 19, we're going to start there, and we'll end up in chapter 20. Here we have a story of another battle. King Jehoshaphat. Now, I learned something about this king. Well, I learned several things. One is his name is spelled Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat. So S-H, shh. It's also spelled without the H in the middle, Jehoshaphat, which is a way easier way to pronounce it than Jehoshaphat. So if I mix it up, that's why. And Jehoshaphat was a descendant of King David. It's one and the same person. And he was the fourth king of Judah. So he was basically a good king in that, and you remember that Israel and Judah were the same country, but they were divided in the middle. And he was basically a good king in that he had removed the idols of Baal in the groves of Ashtaroth. And we all know that those were horrible idols. They did terrible things there. I won't go into. And where God said he was a jealous God and that his people should have no part in the obscenities that were practiced there in the groves. So while Jehoshaphat did a great thing in removing those idols, he had a major weakness. He had aligned himself in family relationships and in business with the most wicked of all of Israel's kings, Ahab. Jehoshaphat gave King Ahab his own daughter for King Ahab's wicked son. Can you imagine having Jezebel as your mother-in-law? Think about it. So he entered into this unrighteous union with Ahab and all the sin and debauchery associated with him and what was going on in the 10 northern tribes that he ruled over. And Jehoshaphat was also very gullible. Ahab devised a war plan that Jehoshaphat would wear Ahab's kingly robes into the battle when they went down to fight Ahab's enemy, because he knew that the enemy would attack the king first. So he dressed up Jehoshaphat in his own kingly robes so that the enemy would go after him. And Jehoshaphat went along with that plan. How dumb do you have to be to realize, something's wrong with this? But he did. Had he not cried out for God's help, he would have been killed in that battle. But God saved him. So he had character witnesses, he had bad judgment, and those nearly canceled out all the good that he did. But in chapter 20, we see another battle. Here, all the enemies of Judah, the southern kingdom, were going to overthrow King Jehoshaphat and his armies. All of the ites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, and there were other ites too, were going to bring war against Jehoshaphat. Finally, Jehoshaphat got some wits about him and some sense, and he called a solemn assembly of the people, and he said, "Folks, we have got to fast and pray. We're going to get slaughtered here, and if we start reading it, verse 5 in chapter 20, I'm going to read a fair amount of scripture here. Starting at chapter 20, verse 5, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil comes upon us, as the sword, the judgment, the pestilence, or the famine, that we will stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit." So you see what's going on here. They've laid a plot and a plan, even though Jehoshaphat and his troops had done good to them by not killing them. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow you go down against them, and behold, they will come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of God, of the Lord, with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." I'm going to read just a few more verses. "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. This kind of semi-wicked, really dumb, gullible king decides, I need help. Oh God, you said you'd help. And he bows his head to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning, and they went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness, that they went out before the army to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing praise to the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon, Moab, stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to destroy and slay them. They killed each other. The enemy destroyed each other. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And verse 25 will end the reading here. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. I know that was a lot of reading, and thank you for your patience. But the words were so emblazoned in my heart. Both leaders, Moses and Jehoshaphat, had to come to the same point, that they recognize their own insufficiency and their own inability to do anything. They were totally and utterly helpless. And they had to humble themselves and call upon the Lord because they simply didn't know what to do, what to say, nor did they have the resources to win. I can't tell you how much these passages ministered to me personally this week. It caused me to say, Lord, I'm guilty of trying to figure things out all by myself. Forgive me. I don't have the answers with all my trying. I don't have the answers. There are certainly battles that the Lord expects us to fight, or He wouldn't have given us the equipment to fight them. But there are battles where we are over our heads. I said, Lord, I don't know how to be a pastor. I don't know how to preach, how to lead a church. I don't know how to fight the injustices that are going on around us. I don't know how to liberate a church that's held captive by evil government. I don't know how to eradicate a virus or get kids back in schools where they belong. But Lord, I know You. And You'll just have to figure it out for me. And if You want me to take any part in the battle, I want to be ready and open and available to do so. But You'll have to tell me what that is. Otherwise, I'm going to crawl underneath Your wings and rest. I really said this. Psalms 91:4 says that He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. And I will tell you that it was a liberating prayer. I felt much lighter afterwards. Do I have all the answers now? No, I surely don't. But I have a refuge. I have a resting place. And I'm sheltered under His wings. I don't have to carry the weight of my own insufficiency and inability or figure it all out because I'm not smart enough to do that. And His strength overcomes my weakness. I do not mean that we don't need to pray about these issues, because we do. Oh, we do. I don't mean that I don't care about these issues anymore, because I desperately care. But I don't have to bear the weight of it on my shoulders because I gave it to Him. Maybe you've been carrying battles or carrying weights and fighting battles by yourself too. Not defiantly, because that wasn't my thing at all. But out of habit, out of nature, just it's kind of who I am. But the Lord would say, you don't need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, meaning plant your feet, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And don't be afraid, for the Lord will be with you. There are a lot of voices out there today saying a lot of different things. Christian, wonderful Christian people. Obviously, the Lord has a plan, for the church. We know what that plan is because he's given it in his word. But right now, that plan is for us to plant our feet, stand still, and let God do what he does best, which is be God. I believe that. I've limited quite a bit of that input this week because I think it can get in the way. It can cloud us. It can make the burden heavier, weight us down. You may need to distance yourself from some things too, some unhealthy inputs that can overcrowd and overrun and overburden you, or even toxic relationships, sinful influences, too much media. They can be faith-busting habits. Whatever it is, I encourage you to give it to him. I want to see the Lord's salvation. I want the world to know he's God and he has everything in his power and control. I want to see him demonstrate that before the world. Can I trust him? Oh, yes. Is he faithful? Yes, he's faithful. Does he love his children? He loves his children. Even the dumbest, weakest, poorest excuse of his children. Would you stand with me this morning? Shoko ramako satai. Iamako shi amako sai amako di amaki di amashai otoko si. Ikar ramoshi andri I see di amako satai. Iayako sho tora ramoko si. Ikor ramokai shiki di amoko si. My church, I have told you I love you. I have told you that you are my bride, and I have told you that I will adorn you, and I have told you that I will fight your battles for you, and I'm telling you now to come and give those weights to me. Don't be burdened by them. Don't be held down by them, but keep your eyes upon me, for just as I caused the enemy to chew up each other and spit them out, so will I do now. And they will know that I am your God and the God of this church. And I will protect you under my wing in Jesus' name. Oh, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for your confirmation today, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes stayed on you and our feet firmly planted. God, we believe your word. We hold to your word. For if we don't hold to your word and we don't believe, we have no hope. And our hope is in you today. We give you praise and we're so thankful for your word today, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we pray, Lord, for each one that's here. Lord, when the burden gets heavy, that they just push it off to you, Lord, and wait upon you for the right answers. Wait upon you for the leading, Lord. Help me as you lead me this week, Lord, with a plan to lay out, that I would be obedient and understanding, Lord, of that plan. Oh, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Burn in our hearts, Lord, the work of the Holy Spirit in us, and we see it in each other, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.